The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
So the myth for today is Thanksgiving is all in your attitude. Thanksgiving is all in your attitude. Okay, so when I first wrote this, I thought to myself, you know, that kind of makes sense. I've actually heard people, you've heard the expression attitude of gratitude. Have you heard that before? All right, somebody more famous than me said that, and it kind of got spread around, and I think it's a good thing. The idea that Thanksgiving, you know, starts as a mindset, and it's sort of a, you know, an attitude that you take on. So is Thanksgiving really all about attitude, though? I guess that's really the question this morning. Is it all in your attitude? I think that as we talk about this, and you may already kind of begin to see where I'm heading, but I think as we talk about this morning, you're going to discover that Thanksgiving is much more than just a mindset. It's much more than just, you know, a state of mind. And we'll talk about really all the details that go into that. We'll investigate the possibilities that maybe thankfulness is not just a way of thinking. So why don't we pray and ask God to just open our eyes, open our hearts to what He has for us. Make sure someone gets that text message too. Let's pray. God, thank You so much. You're such an amazing God. Father, we don't deserve to have a God that's as amazing as You. Father, You love us. You've given us so much. Father, as we look at our lives, Your word tells us that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, a Father that wants to give us good things. God, but we look at our entire lives and sometimes we ask ourselves, is this all good? Is everything that we face good? And where do those things come from? Father, this morning as we tackle this whole idea of thankfulness and where does thankfulness come from and where should it come from and what's our response to it? I pray, Father, that You would open our eyes, that You would open our hearts. God, speak directly to us this morning. And God, for that reason, I know that it has to be Your words and not mine this morning, so I pray that would happen. Thank You, Father. You're such a great God to us. We love You. We praise You. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. So Thanksgiving. Really, actually, one of my favorite holidays. I have three favorite holidays, which is kind of odd because annually speaking, there's really not a whole lot of big holidays. But Halloween. Halloween, no. It's because I was born on Halloween. It's my birthday, so I kind of have to enjoy the holiday. So, and I, when I was a kid, people would dress up for Halloween, and I would get excited. Mom, everybody's dressing up for my birthday party. I thought it was all about me. And then Christmas, another holiday I thought was all about me, too, because Santa always knew exactly what I wanted. I mean, I would write everything on my wish list in a letter to Santa, and then my mom would burn it in the fireplace. And somehow those particles of ash would magically form back together in Santa's workshop, and then he would know exactly what I needed. And he was really good at building things that were made in Taiwan. So Christmas, and then Thanksgiving. Here's why I love Thanksgiving so much. It's not so much about the food, although I love the food. The food is great. But the thing I love about Thanksgiving is getting family together. Now, I know that seems like maybe one of the negative sides of Thanksgiving, and some of you are not looking forward to that aspect of Thanksgiving. You're like, I'm going to see those relatives that I really don't like spending time with, and they're going to be actually at my dinner table, unless you're like me and you still have to sit at the card table. Anybody? Card table still? Nobody? Okay. All right. Got to give it to me a little bit. The card table was always fun. My grandfather passed away a few years ago, and my grandparents moved, or my grandma moved out of this beautiful house that my grandfather had built with his bare hands. I'm sure he had tools too, but that's what he told us. And we used to have Thanksgiving dinner there in their parlor, except for the kids. We would have to have Thanksgiving like out on their screen porch, which is a nice, it was a nice porch that overlooked their property, but it wasn't, you know, it always kind of felt like it wasn't really Thanksgiving, or like it was Thanksgiving, you know, part two or the abridged version. And it's like we got, I just don't know if we got all the good stuff at our table. I think there might have been better things offered at the adults' table. But anyway, had such a big family that it took really long time to promote from the card table to the table with everybody else. But I love the idea of getting family together, because there really are very few times when your family comes together. And sometimes it's, you know, they come together for a bad reason. And so when you get family together for a reason like Thanksgiving, I think it's awesome. I think it's an opportunity you need to take advantage of. And it's a great time to, you know, play practical jokes on relatives you haven't seen in years, too. That's always fun. So Thanksgiving, always something to look forward to for that reason. Until recently. Okay, confession time. Confession is what? Good for the soul, bad for the reputation? My family started doing this thing, and they don't listen to this podcast, so I can talk about it. They probably will this time. They started doing this thing where they have Thanksgiving at the beach. And I'm not really into going to the beach on Thanksgiving. I like to sit at a nice table and hear the football game in the background, you know, and you know, be comfortable. But a lot of times it's a little bit cold and windy, and, you know, it's not really comfortable. They don't bring chairs or tables or anything. It's like everybody just hangs out on beach towels. And I know you think it's really odd. So do I. So it's like Thanksgiving at the beach, and my family's so excited about it. I don't know why, but they just get pumped up about Thanksgiving at the beach, and so we go along with it, and then we go back to Debbie's parents' house and have a normal Thanksgiving. But I have good news this year, because it's supposed to rain on Thanksgiving Day, and so we're praying that actually rain, because we want rain for the agriculture, and it's good for the land, right? But yeah, like, please, Lord, I will be so thankful if it rains and we have Thanksgiving around a table. Wouldn't that be nice? Love Thanksgiving. But as I was kind of wrestling with this passage, I started to ask myself, how far have we come when it comes to Thanksgiving? I think about the very first Thanksgiving. And so, very first Thanksgiving, 1500s. It was all about God providing for people, and they were able to have this, actually they were able to survive, and so they had this feast. So, it involved food, because it really was a celebration of the fact that they survived, and in thankfulness to God for that. And then now in the 2000s, we've actually come a long way, because Thanksgiving nowadays is about food as well. We sit around and we eat food, and it's kind of, I guess, to me, Thanksgiving has always kind of been centered around the things that we have. And it's almost like Thanksgiving is like the holiday version of Hoarders. You know what I'm talking about? It's like you gather all the good stuff that you have. Mom gets out the fine china and the glasses that you don't get to use all year round, and brings out all that nice stuff. And so all these things come back on display. And the food, it's like this feast that you don't usually have, and then you have turkey sandwiches for like 7 months afterwards. So it's all this surplus of stuff that involved Thanksgiving. Something interesting that I found out this week, I was talking to someone who was traveling in Australia last year during Thanksgiving, and they said they didn't have Thanksgiving in Australia. And I thought that was the strangest thing. Like, wait a second, why wouldn't they have Thanksgiving? Then I remember it's an American holiday. And then I started to think about, a holiday like Thanksgiving, would it work in very many other countries besides the United States of America? I don't think so. Not traditionally the way we celebrate Thanksgiving. I think that Thanksgiving would look very different in a country where some people may only get three meals a week. I think for us, we're spoiled. Let's face it. As Americans, we're spoiled. We really are. And we celebrate a holiday that says, you know, thank you, God, for your provision. But yet, I think sometimes this thankfulness kind of stops at the end of the kitchen table. You know, it really doesn't go beyond the door because we're thankful about what we have, but it really doesn't move beyond that. So this morning, I want to talk about that. But the first thing that I want to say about Thanksgiving and thankfulness is that it's unnatural. Okay? Thankfulness is unnatural. Why do I say thankfulness is unnatural? That sounds bad. But the truth is that we as humans that are caught up in this whole sin nature, thankfulness does not come naturally to us. It doesn't. We have to be taught thankfulness, believe it or not. My son Josiah, I don't have to teach him to throw toys. He was doing a great job of that last night when I was trying to study. I don't have to teach him to tell a lie. I don't think he knows about lying, but he started doing this thing where I think he thinks the word yesterday means anything that ever happened. So he'll tell me, yesterday I was swimming, and I'm like, wait a second. Dude, we haven't been swimming since, you know, like August. What? That was not yesterday. But I know that I'm not going to have to teach him to tell a lie. That's just going to come naturally to him. But what is the one thing you always have to teach a child? Someone gives your child something, and you're embarrassed if they don't say thank you. And so you say, Johnny, tell the nice man thank you. You have to instruct them to do that. It has to be taught. And so I think that that's so true about thankfulness. Okay, so what does God have to say about thankfulness? Well, I decided I wanted to look up all the times that thankfulness or thanksgiving or thanks was mentioned in the Bible. And it's mentioned 139 times. 139 times in God's word, the topic comes up. Okay, and here's proof. Here, there it is. Okay, so I actually had to add all those numbers together, and I came up with 139. So if you're a math whiz in the room and you come up with a different number than me, hopefully it's higher. Because my point is that if Thanksgiving came naturally, then why would God bring the topic up so many times? I believe it's the same reason that a teacher who wants you to really learn something will oftentimes repeat themselves. And if you've been here at Remnant for very long, you know that maybe we'll say it different ways, but the themes, the principles that we're teaching you from God's words, a lot of times we're repeating ourselves. We're bringing back to remembrance things that we've talked about before already because they're so important. We want you to know what they are. And so obviously thankfulness is something that God thinks is a big deal. And so it's something that we need to talk about. So first of all, a guy named Cicero, who is a famous philosopher, said this: gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all the others. Okay? Think about that. He basically is saying that thankfulness is not only a great thing to have, but so many other good things in our lives, good characteristics about us, good habits, good attributes come out of a thankful heart. That's some pretty smart saying, but he was, after all, a philosopher, and he apparently didn't have the rest of his body, so it's pretty cool that he was able to come up with that. Let's look at Romans 1, verse 21, because when we talk about Thanksgiving being unnatural, this verse is the epitome. Romans 1, 21 says, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their mind became dark and confused. So here is a thankless people who their misunderstanding of who God is leads to this lack of thanksgiving. And that leads to them being a confused people. That's us. This chapter in Romans talks about the person that doesn't know Jesus or the person that has rejected Jesus. So it's the natural, what we call the natural man, okay? Who we naturally are by nature, who we are. We're a people that don't have thanksgiving. In other words, our natural state is an absence of thanksgiving. Our natural state is an absence of thanksgiving. Okay, so we've automatically got a problem, because since Thanksgiving has to be something that we're taught, then we better make sure that we're getting the right instructions when it comes to being thankful. Look at Colossians 2, verse 7. It says this, "Let your roots grow down into him." It's talking about Jesus. "And let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." So are you seeing the formula for thankfulness here? If we are a people that are into God, if we are a people that are into everything about God, and we're allowing God and his word to saturate our lives, it's going to result in thankfulness. And not just a little bit of thankfulness. What does it say? It says we'll overflow with thankfulness. My son has this thing where when you're filling his glass with tea or whatever it is that he wants, or milk, he doesn't want you to stop pouring, ever. He just wants you to keep pouring. And so I'll start to pour, and he'll get to the top, and I know that level that it needs to be at before it's just dangerous, okay? Where he can't even, like, touch it or look at it without it spilling. So I try to keep it, you know, a little distance from the rim. And he notices that, and so he's like, "Dad, fill it up. Keep pouring." So I pour a little bit more, like a drop, you know? And then he's like, "Keep pouring, keep pouring." So it's like, I just keep going. And finally, we get to a point where I've compromised way too far. And it's just, you know, I just have to step back because I'm going to get wet if I don't. And the other day, since he figured out how to work our water dispenser in our house, he brought me some water. And the problem is I was in the back of the house studying, and he was in the kitchen, which is the other side of the house. And so he decided, you know, he wanted to bring me enough water. And so by the time I got the cup, it was like a third full. And when I got the cup, I noticed it was only like a third of it was full. And I thought to myself, that's strange. That's not like him to only fill it that full. But then I also noticed that he was wet, and the cup was wet, and water was running down his arm. So I figured it out. Here's the thing. God wants us to be so full of thanksgiving. God wants us to have such an amazing abundance of thankfulness that it's overflowing. And you can't help but get the people around you wet with thanksgiving. This is what we're talking about. I noticed that in this passage, and maybe you've noticed it too, thanksgiving is a process. We have to allow God to grow thankfulness in our hearts. Since it doesn't come naturally, we have to allow God to do it. He has to be the one that plants that seed of thankfulness, and he has to be the one that makes it grow. He cultivates it. He makes it happen. Because if we're left to our natural state, we're not very thankful. We're just like the kid who hasn't learned to say thanks to somebody, and everything he gets, he's entitled to. So the question is, what will you do to allow God's Spirit to cultivate thankfulness in your heart? And we're talking about practically. What will you do in a practical sense that will allow God's Spirit, to cultivate that thankfulness in your heart? That's a question only you can answer. Because if you're going to be proactive about being a thankful person, there are some changes that you have to make. Maybe there's some room that has to be created, some space that needs to be created for thankfulness in your heart. And you have to let God do the work. What is it that you're going to allow God to do as far as thankfulness in your heart? Second thing I notice about Thanksgiving is it's not silent. Out of 139 passages about Thanksgiving, I was surprised to see that about half of those passages talked about singing and shouting thankfulness. Great example. What do we have here? 1 Chronicles 16:8. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he's done." That's not a silent thanksgiving. First of all, a proclamation is an announcement, okay? It's not just something for one person, but it's an announcement to a group of people. And then if that's not enough, just the word proclaim, it goes on to clarify, let the whole world know. So this is an announcement that every single person needs to hear. That's how important it is, that thanksgiving is not silent. See, as followers of Jesus, we're not called to be thankful, We're told to express thankfulness. God doesn't just want us to be thankful. He wants us to let others know that we're thankful. And for that reason, thanksgiving cannot be silent. I love Psalms 100. It's a great psalm when it comes to thanksgiving. But I was noticing that at the beginning of Psalms 100, verse 1, it says this. Right at the beginning, and it's in like parentheses. It's actually part of the Bible, but they kind of explain what the psalm's about. And it starts out just saying, a psalm of thanksgiving. And then what's the first word of that psalm? Shout. I mean, this psalm is not like, okay, guys, I got a secret. No. The psalm is about thanksgiving, and the first word, I don't think it's a mistake, that the first word is shout. Thanksgiving cannot be silent. It can't be silent. There's a message, a vital message that everybody needs to hear. That's why I say thanksgiving is not meant to be whispered. It's meant to be heard. It's meant to be heard. So the question is this. What steps will you take to uncensor thankfulness in your conversation? Now I realize uncensor is not a word. Maybe you didn't realize that. I shouldn't have even told you that. Because I thought to myself, uncensored doesn't sound right, so I look it up and it's not in the dictionary. Okay, well, I coined a word for a reason. Because we think of censorship. We think of somebody saying, you can't say that. Okay? We think of being, no one wants to be shut down. Everybody wants to claim their right to free speech. Okay? It's like a part of who we are. We want to be heard. So what I'm asking you to do is to explore what you could do differently in your life to remove that censorship from thankfulness from your daily conversation. And why is it something that we're not talking about? Why is it something that's not a part of our dialogue on a regular basis? What can you do differently? What steps will you take to uncensor thankfulness in your conversation? Next thing I realized about thanksgiving as I studied a little more was thanksgiving is active. Thanksgiving is active. Now, I know you don't think of the holiday of Thanksgiving as being an active day. No, that's why you put on sweatpants. I always thought it was because of the elastic band, but I think it's just because you don't plan on going anywhere. You're just planning on spending the day hanging out, lounging around. We don't think of Thanksgiving as being something that requires action, as something that requires movement on our part. But it is. Hebrews 12:28. Look at this verse. This is just the last half of this verse, but it says, because we are thankful, we must serve God with fear and awe in a way that pleases him. So as a result of our thankfulness, God is saying there needs to be action. We must serve because we're thankful. See, thanksgiving is not just an attitude. It's also an action. It's not just an attitude. It's an action. And maybe you haven't thought of thanksgiving as being a verb or being an active part of your life. Here's the thing. It does not take a genius to figure this out. You don't have to be the smartest person in the world to figure out that if we're going to be thankful, we need to put effort into it. As a matter of fact, this guy said this. He says, many times a day, I realize how much my own life is built on the labors of my fellow men and how earnestly I must exert myself in order to give in return as much as I have received. Okay, Albert Einstein, he was a genius. But he realized that it's going to take some effort. It's going to take some work. If I'm going to show somebody that I'm thankful, it's actually going to require a physical action on my part. So how does thanksgiving become active in our lives? What is it that we have to do in order to be active? Look what it says in Colossians 3:17. It says, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. You see, he's talking about word and action. Speaking and doing. Those are the things that are required if we're going to be a people that are giving thanks. In other words, don't just say you're thankful, show your thankfulness. True thanksgiving always results in movement. And if thanksgiving for you is something that's inert, if it's something that just, there's not a lot of activity, I believe if we're truly going to be followers of Jesus and we're going to live lives that honor him, then that has to change. Something about the way we're doing thanksgiving needs to change. Because it needs to be, according to Scripture, from what I see, it needs to be an active part of our lives. There needs to be movement. So the question is, how will you put your thanksgiving into motion? How will you put your thanksgiving into motion? And we're talking about a practical, I mean, I want to kind of end each one of these thoughts with a question, because I want you to think practically, what is it that I can do to make my thankfulness active? What action can I take to show my thankfulness? Are you thankful for the things that you have? You know, we would all say, yeah, you know, I've got some cool stuff. I've got stuff that, you know, it's interesting. The things that we need, we have all that stuff, okay? It's the things that we want that seem to occupy most of our thinking. We don't think about the fact that we have clean running water, unless you live in the country with us. We don't think about the fact that we have food on our table on a regular basis. We don't think about the fact that we have transportation for the most part. Maybe you're still trying to get your driver's license, but I'm thankful that you haven't got it yet. Just kidding. But understand, there are so many things that we have that are not needs, that bring all our attention, or that cause us to focus on that and only think about those things. It's all the extra stuff that we're thankful for. Rarely do we say, yeah, I'm thankful that I'm able to walk. You know, I'm thankful that I'm able to see. Rarely do we say that. I was reading a little bit of Helen Keller's biography, and it was pretty fascinating to see a person that was so filled with gratitude. You know, she said that she has so many blessings that she doesn't have any time to think about the things that are not blessings, or the things that are, well, if you guys know anything about Helen Keller, when she was, I think, 19 months old, she got very sick, and she lost her sight and her hearing. And she lived her life and dedicated her life to proving to other people that wasn't going to limit her. And so she became a great author, speaker, a great person that allowed God to cultivate thankfulness in her life. And when I was a kid, I would just hear the name Helen Keller, and I would hear people make jokes, and I didn't, you know, I was like, what's that all about? I would hear Helen Keller jokes of it. But as I was reading her biography, I was like, man, I'm so ashamed for the times that I laughed at some of those jokes, or maybe made some of those jokes myself. I thought to myself, here's a person that's a prime example of what it is to be a grateful person. If only people could look at our lives and say, you know what? That person models thankfulness. I look at that person and I see a person that appreciates the things that they have, and it's expressed in the way they live. It's expressed in their actions. They don't just talk about being thankful. They're actually doing things to show their thankfulness. So how will you put your thankfulness into motion? What will you do to put feet to your thankfulness? Last thing I see is that Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. I mean, we've talked about how Thanksgiving doesn't come natural. It's something that God puts in us. We talked about how Thanksgiving is not silent. It's meant to be spoken. It's meant to be heard. We talked about how it should be an active part of our lives. I mean, doesn't it just make sense when I say Thanksgiving is a lifestyle? Look at this quote from Johannes Gertner, who is a artist and a historian. Apparently also a fine-looking gentleman. He says, to speak gratitude is courteous and pleasant. To enact or to put gratitude into action is generous and noble. But to live gratitude is to touch heaven. Man, isn't that amazing? I read that, the first time I read that, since there was a lot of big words in it, I was like, wait a second, I need to read that again. To speak gratitude is courteous and pleasant. Okay, so if you tell somebody thankful, that you're thankful, or you tell somebody thank you, you're being polite. Okay? Then he says, to enact gratitude is generous and noble. So, you know, you're exhibiting generosity, and you're doing something that it's admired by people when you put action to your thanksgiving. But to live gratitude, to live out your thankfulness, is to touch heaven. What's he talking about? He's basically saying that to be thankful is to be like God, is to pattern our lives after God. Because God says, I want you to be thankful. Check out this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. This is how important it is that we're thankful. Look what God says. He says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So let's kind of break this down. First of all, be thankful in all circumstances. So that means that every situation that you're in, the one thing that God's requiring of you is that you're grateful, that you're thankful. That's a pretty tough thing to do. Because right now, I'm thinking of situations in my life that I'm not thankful for. And maybe you're doing the same thing. Maybe you can think of something right now, and you could be completely honest in your humanity and say, you know what? I'm not thankful for that thing. I'm not thankful for whatever it was that happened. But I look at this passage, and God is telling me, be thankful in all circumstances. Is it possible that maybe God is not calling upon a thankfulness that you are capable of? Is it possible that maybe God is calling upon a thankfulness that he actually has to put in your heart? I think so. Because I'll be totally honest with you. When things go bad for me, the last thing I think about is thankfulness. I think a lot of other stuff, but I don't think about being thankful. And so maybe, just maybe, God is saying, let me put that seed of thankfulness in your heart. Let me be the one that gives you that thankfulness. And see how it changes your life. A lifestyle of thanksgiving means making the transition from being thankful to living thankful. That's a big step. I'm just being honest with you. That is a huge step for me, to go from being thankful to living thankful. Because now thankfulness has to be a part of everything that I do. Look what it says in Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the message of Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing to God with thankful hearts. I think there's a lot of things that has to happen in our life in order for us to be thankful. I think that God has to do a lot of things. And I think that if we're actively involved in the things of God, then thankfulness is going to be a natural result. Just by living for God and serving him, that thankfulness is going to become a part of who we are and what we do. It's going to become a lifestyle for us. See, the more you allow Jesus to fill your life, the more thankfulness will spill out. I mean, picture it in your head. If you need to think about that glass that my son overfills, I mean, think about it. Jesus pours himself into us, and thankfulness overflows. That's what it is to live out thanksgiving, to have a thankful lifestyle. Found two other verses I want to share with you. Psalm 69:30 says, then I will praise God's name and I will honor him with thanksgiving. I will honor him with thanksgiving. You know, I thought thanksgiving just made God happy. I thought that that thanksgiving was kind of like, you know, like a little extra thing that make, you know, like kind of like when you're in line at the grocery store and someone's like, hey, you only have one or two items. Why don't you go ahead and cut in front of me? You're like, yes, I just made my day. I kind of thought of Thanksgiving like that, you know? It's just like an extra added bonus to your day. When the reality is, thankfulness is right at the core of who we're supposed to be as followers of Jesus. And we honor God through our thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. I love how whenever it talks about any kind of spiritual discipline in the Bible, it's like God always tags on, and be thankful, and do it with thankfulness, and have a thankful heart. It's like God automatically expects it of us. And yet, for most of us, and I'm guilty of this sometimes, Thanksgiving is once a year. Or it's only when someone does something nice for you. Or it's only when things are going really well. See what we're up against? It's a constant fight in our lives, a constant struggle in our hearts for us to find thankfulness and to be a thankful people and to live out thanksgiving. Something that we always have to be concentrating on and thinking about. That's why I say allow thankfulness to saturate every aspect of your life. What does it mean for something to be saturated? We did a fundraiser a little while ago, and they were making lemonade in the booth next to us, and it was so good. And I was noticing that they would squeeze a lemon into a cup with water in it, shake it up, and then give it to someone. And my first thought is, that can't taste very good. That's got to be, you know, real sour. Well, you know, it has to be sweet. And then I figured out that they had actually pre-sweetened the water. They had saturated the water with sugar. Sugar was dissolved and it had become a part of that water, and so the water was already like syrupy and sweet. Matter of fact, I tasted some of that water. I was like, ooh, man. No. They added a little bit of lemon to that. It was like the perfect lemonade, which shows you that there's way too much sugar in lemonade. But understand what it means to allow thankfulness to saturate our lives. I mean, it's a big deal. It has to be in and through everything that we're doing. That sweetness, maybe that's a good illustration for us, because there is a sweetness in being grateful and being thankful. And I think that we need to be a people that are so thankful and are so sweet with that thanksgiving that when life deals us lemons, it's like we can make the perfect lemonade because we're ready for it. So the question is, what changes will you make to your lifestyle that will allow you to live out your thankfulness? So now we're not just talking about saying something. Now we're not just talking about an action, but we're actually talking about altering the way you live, making major changes to your life that are going to cause thanksgiving to be a big part of it. What are the changes that need to take place in your life? I mean, literally think about, in a practical sense, the changes that need to take place in your life in order for you to live a life of thanksgiving. I got a phone call, a text message yesterday. Someone that I knew that I know struggles from time to time and tries to their hardest to provide for a pretty large family, 15 people. And they had text messaged me and said, hey, do you guys have like turkey baskets? And the first time... Another confession. First time I got the text message, I thought they said, would you like a turkey basket? So I'm like, oh, no, thanks, I'm fine. I sent the text. It was like one of those things where I sent a text message, and as I was sending it, I was reading what actually had come in, and I was wishing that I could just reach out into the digital world and just grab it and pull it back, but I couldn't. And so then I had to send another text that was like, oh, sorry, I totally misread that. But it started to get me thinking, you know, because someone was saying, hey, do you need something for Thanksgiving? And I was like, my first reaction was, no, I'm cool. I'm all set. Thanks, though. And then I realized they were asking me, could you help me out? And then it changed everything. All of a sudden, I thought to myself, somebody's not going to have a good Thanksgiving. Somebody's not going to have the same kind of Thanksgiving that I'm going to have. And I actually, in some way, I'm responsible for affecting change and making sure that their Thanksgiving is better or is like the one I'm going to have. Hopefully, they don't have to go to the beach, though. So what can we do? What can you do? What's the active role that you can take, or the change, the major change or shift in the paradigm, whatever it is? Something needs to happen in our lives differently in order for us to live out lives of thanksgiving. That's my point. What's it going to be? That's the question for you. And I think it's a question we need to take seriously. I think we really seriously need to sit down and evaluate our lives. And I know that at Thanksgiving, we sit down and we kind of evaluate all the goodness in our lives, but maybe we need to sit down and evaluate how we can express our thankfulness. What are the changes that we need to make in order to make it happen? So, thanksgiving is all in your attitude. What do you guys think? I think it's busted. Yeah. I think that if thanksgiving is just an attitude and that's where it stays, I don't think it's helping anybody but you. And God hasn't called us to be selfish people. God's called us to be a people that touch the lives of the people around us and make a difference in the lives of others. So thanksgiving has to be something that we're putting into action. It has to be a lifestyle that we live out. Matter of fact, I put it like this. Thanksgiving must be more than an attitude. It must be voiced, converted to action, and ultimately affect the way we live. I think that's true thanksgiving. And so I challenge you, because I think I would be doing you an injustice to not challenge you to live this out. I believe that God is calling us to live lives of thankfulness, but I believe God is not asking us to contain that thankfulness. I believe He wants that thankfulness to be obvious to the people around us and active in our lives. A life of repaying what we're thankful for. What would that look like if every one of us lived lives of thanksgiving? I think that we would look different, but I think the people around us would also look different. It's contagious too. I will say that. When I'm around people that are grateful and thankful, I start to look at my life and say, wait a second. How come I'm not like that? What do I need to do differently to be a person that's thankful? Thanksgiving's coming up. We've got a few days. I think it's like a planning stage for us. You know, it's a springboard. What are we going to do in the next 3 days to show our thankfulness? And don't let it just be a holiday thing. I mean, what are the changes that we're going to make over the next few days to be people that are living lives of thanksgiving? What do we need to do? I think it's a question we need to all ask ourselves. And I guarantee you, if you allow your mind and your heart to go through this process, that you're going to have the best Thanksgiving ever, because you're going to have a much better understanding of what it means to be thankful. A couple opportunities that just came to mind. One, I have a text message from a family of 15. I want to try to figure out how to get them. I don't even know what kind of turkey, how big a turkey would feed 15 people. I don't know. Anybody want to help with that? Talk to me after the service. Luce was talking to Debbie about getting some Spanish Bibles. You're going to be taking some Bibles to people that need Bibles. She was like, where can I get Spanish Bibles? I'm thinking, where else but turn to your church family? And is that something that you want to be a part of this Thanksgiving? Talk to Luce after the service. Luce, raise your hand so people know who you are. Here she is. I mean, I'm just coming up with things off the spot, okay? You could wash my car, but no. You understand what I'm saying. There are things that we can be doing to express our thankfulness and to begin to live that life of thanksgiving. Let's pray.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.